the Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls, your weekly sideways look at the news, and boy, have we got a programme for you this week. I'm proud to announce that as I drove to work, well, I have done for a couple of days, I've looked up at the mountains, which are the High Tatras Mountains here in Slovakia, where I am, and there's snow all over them. It's beautiful. My name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm located in Poprad, and across the pond, courtesy of cyberspace, it's none other than Mr. Lee Banks.
How do you do? How are you doing?
I'm doing... It's a bit cold, it has to be said.
I have a complaint to make to you right away.
Flip. Hold on a minute.
You didn't say...
What?
You didn't say the armpit of the Europe.
I don't say the armpit. I normally say the zit on the nose.
Not be phone ringing now.
Well, tell them to go away.
Yeah, get lost. Right. Anyway, we've got a busy show. Let's get on.
Anyway, okay, hi to the guys over in Talk Radio, Extra Replay Radio, wonderful people on RTI, and, of course, those expanding listeners on Audio Boo, which is really cool. Messages
what,
against...
You're getting fat.
Stop it, you. Tom Wilson's in with the first message. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Tom.
Are you the Eric Wiltshire that I've come across writing in the What Satellite magazine?
No,
Tom,
he isn't.
Tom, that's like asking somebody who writes in the Times, did they once write for the Grundian? No.
I've written for the Grundian, and nobody ever asked me if I'm the same person.
Now, I used to write for Satellite Times, Tom. That's where I was the technical, I think the description was technical editor. Which is a bit posh, really, isn't it?
Oh, you were technically an editor. That means you did nothing but have an expense account.
Probably. Ian McGregor says, what a lovely surprise to hear from you on Tuesday. It was great to catch up and really good to hear you're happy and still swinging. that's a very 1960s phrase that's been hijacked in the 2010s. He says, oh,
let's all go swinging with Eric. It has a totally different meaning, doesn't it, in your case?
He says, I'll pass on your good wishes to Chris Stacey. Apparently he's mid-Atlantic at the moment. And we'll also remember you to Mike Lawrence. Thanks for that, Ian. Birthdays this week, which will bring us to Chris Stacey in a second. Peter Millington, who's in Denmark. He's slightly over 65 this week, which is nice to hear. Tyler Hollywood from Vermont is celebrating 45 years this week. And Chris Stacey, we just mentioned, he's the guru of soap operas. And apparently he was allegedly on television this week on The One Show, Lee. Did you watch that?
Oh, right. I didn't. Why is he the guru of TV soap operas?
Because he just is. Chris Stacey's just like, he's a soap opera anorak.
Did you hear about the soap factory that fell down? Got down with a thickening sod.
Well, apparently Chris is celebrating 51 years this week. Robert Ingle is also celebrating this week, and he's older than me. Jan Kabankova is just a timid little 28 this month. Terry Butterworth is celebrating on the 8th of September, and Jan Miklik is 31 years old this month. Happy birthday to all of you.
Happy birthday, everybody. When he said Terry Butterworth is... Oh, wait, I read that. Is 108.
Silly.
You're only looking, Terry. You're not really it. I have two to do. Bad ones. These are farewells.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, one is to Luke, who is my darling son, who's off to India for 2 years.
That's all right. He can still listen to you in India.
I know, I've told him that. He says, well, I don't listen to you over here, so I should listen to you over there.
Well, figures, yes. I can understand that.
And then AJ, our friend, the man who looks after our computers, one of our best listeners, the one who sat there and listened to every show while he was doing whatever you do to learn things for university.
Right.
He's gone, and he's gone to Cornwall. Well,
that's all right. They have cider.
All the best to the pair of you.
They have cider apples down there.
And I just want to say, I'm going to go and see Luke. I'm going to be at the airport waving him off on next Friday.
Oh, well done. Moving on to some news, which we're going to rush through if we can.
Yeah, rush.
The 2010 Internet Access Survey, which is done by the sort of investigation-y type people in the UK. apparently, the key findings were 30.1 million adults use the internet every day, or nearly every day, almost double that which was recorded in 26. 31% of internet users connect via a mobile phone. Blimey, that's up from 23% last year. 17.1 million adults use the internet to watch television or listen to radio, which is a huge increase. Over 9 million adults have never used the internet. Ah, that's the ones that still read newspapers. And that's at 18%, down from 10.2 million in 2009. See, that's why there's nobody reading newspapers. And 43% of internet users use social networking on a regular basis, Lee.
I'm bored.
Why?
Because it's boring. I'll tell you what, there was a report that came out about video gaming, which is really the precursor to the internet, isn't it? In technical terms. And
no.
Do you know what this
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It is.
Teletext. Teletext.
Teletext
was the forerunner.
Fat people who used to wobble when they were, didn't they?
Teletext was the forerunner of the internet, in my opinion.
Video gaming had an effect on what is presented on the internet and the way it's presented. You cannot deny it.
I'm not.
But this report that came out, I think it was last week, said that video gaming is absolutely whatever that word is that I can't remember, it's responsible for increasing obesity and sustaining virginity since 1983.
That's a good thing, then. There's too many people on the planet.
Yes, it is, actually, yeah.
It's not so virgin,
that's what we want.
So basically what we're saying, Lee, is we've got, in the UK, 9 million adults that probably still do buy a newspaper and 30 million that can't be bothered. Marvellous.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's nothing. We'll talk about this later, as we always do.
Okay. Talking of which, the internet is supposed to be the bastion of freedom of information and do what the hell you like. However, yeah, watch out in the UK, boys and girls. Came out this week, the Advertising Standards Authority, which is the regulatory body for marketing and adverts, yeah, from the 1st of March 2011, will be using their rules, as they do now for traditional media, but on the internet, including places like social networks such as Facebook and Twitter, which means that if companies think they can get round the rule by saying, well, it's American, you can't do it anymore, because they're going to regulate the internet from the UK, irrespective, because both Facebook and Twitter are not UK-based, irrespective of where the host service is, you're still going to get into trouble. But there's a little honeymoon period to get yourselves all sorted out, people who write stuff on the internet, and it's just a shame they can't... yeah, it's actually quite interesting.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. That actually is one major step in the direction of making things right on the internet. And we've argued this, and I would like to think that we have some small movement within this. But the simple fact is that the advertising, you can get American magazines, they've all got different sort of attitudes. You can get porn magazines from all over the world that break the laws over here. But the difference is, this is piped into your home. That's the difference. And the laws of the country where it's being piped into should stand. And that's what this is about. So, and it's a good thing.
So you're up for extra regulation, then?
On the internet, I am, yeah. Deregulate newspapers, by all means, but regulate the internet.
I see. So deregulate newspapers, but regulate the internet. Oh, that's an equal platform.
We're professionals. We know what we're doing. The internet is full of amateurs who have no perception of what they're doing.
But tell all the newspapers to get off the internet, then.
No.
Moving along quickly. Apparently, union members at the BBC have voted in favour of strike action. Now, apparently, there's going to be a new offer from Mark Thompson, who's the Director General, the DG, as the BBC try and tackle a £2 billion deficit. Ouch.
£2 billion.
£2 billion, mate. The pension scheme.
You know what they need? It's advertising.
Yeah, and then the government will say, oh, we don't want the BBC anymore because they're the same as ITV. Then you get the junk that you get on ITV. Thank you very much. Marvellous.
You still get the same junk on the BBC as well, believe me, Eric.
You don't.
You do.
You don't.
Well, they're not under the same name. They have different names because they, like, you know what? That's a bizarre thing, isn't it? The most precious thing on TV now are the names of the programmes. The programmes themselves are exactly the same and as boring as each other and have such little interesting content that it doesn't matter, but they protect the names of the programmes.
Well, on the cultural station of the BBC, BBC yeah. 4, Jonathan Woss is back on the BBC after less than 3 months of departing. He's going to be presenting a film. Oh, I see. It's on BBC 4. It's about films, and it'll be an award programme. Marvellous.
Yeah, but that's good, because it's world cinema, isn't it? If this is about world cinema, and world cinema is what the BBC should... They should use their world service now to compete with the internet and do it intelligently
and give
people pensions instead of robbing them.
Apparently, Jonathan Ross came under fire for his salary, rumoured to be £18 million over 3 years, and also for a controversial interview with David Cameron on his Friday Night Chat Show, where he asked the Tory leader whether he'd ever had a schoolboy sexual fantasy about the former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
Did you?
I couldn't possibly comment.
I couldn't either. I think we did a bit of troilism with that.
I think we probably could.
Hey, only in your mind.
Staying with politics for a second, Tony Blair's memoirs are out. They've broken all records. My God.
Do you want me to say anything about this or not?
Well, if you do, keep it short, because it'll be the same stuff you regurgitate every week, nearly.
No, it isn't. It's totally different, totally new, totally fresh. What annoyed me about this when I saw him, there he is. He's all pumped. Have you seen him? He's all pumped up. His muscles are all bulging. He looks like a bald Viking with new eyes. He's got piercing blue eyes. And you know in the memoirs what he did to make himself sound so macho and so powerful? He said... But when I was Prime Minister, I had a bit of a drink problem. You know what he was drinking?
No.
He was drinking up to 2 glasses of wine a day.
My God.
That is incredible.
My God.
Tony, that does not make you an alcoholic or a hard-drinking, wild macho man.
But apparently,
that makes you a bit of a big girl.
Yeah. Tony Blair's book has already outsold David Beckham and Russell Brand's autobiographies. Well, I can understand Russell Brand's, because I can't see the point
Russell
in
Brand
him.
Russell Brand is funny. Russell Brand is funny. So's David Beckham when he's playing football.
David Beckham's quite cool, but, I mean, Russell Brand's funny.
Hello, my name's Russell Brand.
No, yeah, exactly. Although, I must admit, the excerpts I've seen of the film, because I haven't seen the film yet, the first one he's in, is actually quite good.
Well, he is good, man. He is the burgeoning star of the UK.
He is
the man who will take the UK into international waters.
My God.
And he's also doing Ladies and Gentlemen's with that...
Yes.
Katy
Perry, whose new single, by the way, is fab. But I'm just worried now. I've just got this vision.
The future of
the UK rests on Russell Brand's shoulders.
Yeah, I think so. He's a brilliant comedian. He's probably the funniest man.
I'd emigrate.
Apart from Johnny Vegas.
I'd emigrate. Because I really would. Now, I have to say, boys and girls, translations will be made available for this programme because...
I didn't understand this.
Well, most of us won't understand the IYI, the lads, and all that funny sort of speak that they do up in Mancunian areas like Lee. Because...
They say YI, the lads, in Manchester.
They talk funny.
Come here, I'll give you a clout.
That's the one. Come here, lad. There's a famous soap opera set up in that area called Coronation Street, which is to broadcast a live episode as part of its 50th anniversary celebrations.
Do you remember seeing the first one?
No, but the funny...
I bet you do.
Well, I don't, because we didn't have a telly then, I don't think.
Oh, Eric.
I don't think we did.
You were a poor Essex girl, weren't you? I've forgotten.
Essex. Actually, I'm trying to think... of the characters. I can remember Amy Turtle.
She wasn't in Coronation Street,
she was. Ina Sharples.
Ina Sharples. Amy Turtle was in that one where all the sets used to fall down from the Midlands.
Is that was Crossroads, wasn't it?
Crossroads. She was in Crossroads, yeah.
Oh.
And do you think, yeah, they stole that title off Jimi Hendrix and turned it into that. Isn't that incredible?
But apparently there's leaks all over the place because... there's probably going to be an appearance of the Prince of Wales, good old Charles, and also some other nasty things going on in that celebrationary episode, which is going to be live.
Oh, brilliant. Phil Collins gets killed by a tramp.
Oh, my word. I wonder if that goes to anywhere else. Well, I know some of the guys that listen to us via Forces programming, or remain nameless, how. Well, you've got something nice to look forward to because you get that on your television sets. By the way, everybody, look out, Denmark, because Lee could be coming.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
more Duber on Tom's in the first part of the programme.
I just don't see I could reach Denmark.
I have to say, I was very proud of myself for including this in the show this week, because it's not often I wish to say what's his name?
His Royal Bobness. Bob Dylan.
Oh, yeah. Blob Dilwyn.
Dylon.
Blob Dylon. apparently some of his artwork has never been shown to the public. It's to be displayed in Denmark's National Gallery.
This is what people don't realise. Honestly, I know we have a joke about his Royal Bobness and everything, but when you think he has an art show which has been going around the world now for 2 years. This is the second year. And it's going to every major city in the world. It's a touring program. He's had two number one hits in the last year. His book got a Pulitzer Prize or something like that. His Christmas album was a major hit. This man is a force to be reckoned with. He's 70 years old. He's still doing live 69. Tours and everything. And his artwork is absolutely stunning.
It's fabulous. Now we'll get on to some real programming. So are you going to go?
If I can, I'd love to go. Yeah, yeah. Why? Do you fancy paying for me?
No.
I would love to go. When's it on, actually? When does it actually go?
I can't remember now, actually. Honestly can't remember, but apparently it's going to be... Look up Denmark National Gallery, you'll find it from there. There's 40 acrylic paintings on. Oh, it opens today.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm not going then.
No, well, it'd be a bit of a quiet show, really, wouldn't it? Could this be the end of the Stig? Because there's Stigs all over. So, see, the interesting thing is there's a Stiggy in Australia.
Hello.
There's little a Stiggy. There's now a Stiggy in America.
And I had a little Stiggy. Yeah, go on, sorry, yeah. Phil Collins is in this one as well.
No. Ben Collins. And this is all to do with an argument the BBC have been having with the guy who plays the Stig in the Top Gear programme, because he wanted to say who he was, and the BBC didn't want him to say who he was, so now he's won the right to do it and publish all the details in his autobiography. After being 7 years as Top Gear's mysterious driving expert. Well, you might make some money out of your autobiography, Mr. Collins, but
but you'll never be the Stig again.
No, you ain't going to have a job in a couple of days' time, that's for sure.
I tell you what, he's going to do so well, and I would eat my hat if I wore one, if the BBC and the rest of the Top Gear people were behind this. This is just massive publicity. And well done, the Stig's funny, and the whole programme is probably, like you say, the best programme in the world. Well, well done to him, I'll buy his book.
I just don't think he's going to be working for the BBC anymore, I really don't. I think it's one of those things where...
Well, you think it's as serious as that, do you?
Yes, I do.
You think this is real?
Let me just put it like this. It's kind of like... I'm trying to think of a good example. Yeah, I know. When you were filming over here last year...
Yes.
And it's a bit like... me jumping up and at the end of every shot that you did and go, hello, my name's Eric, I'm the producer, I'm brilliant. It's stupid. Yeah, if you're working in...
Well, that's basically what you used to do.
No, but we edited it all out. The fact is, if you're working incognito in a programme, that's what you do. You don't sort of go, hey, look at me, I'm famous, because that's not how it works.
Yeah, but I don't believe that's what it's about. I believe, like you say, he's done 7 years since the other one was outed. And he's had enough now, hasn't he? And he's just moving on. You know, people
possibly
have career moves. To be the Stig is not a career move for the rest of your life, surely.
Your faculties will go over age. Therefore, you won't be driving as fast. Therefore, you've got to move on.
So there you have it. So then you write a book because that's your pension.
No, all right then. Well, anyway, I just can't see him. I reckon the Stig will be killed off, and there'll be a different Stig in a new set of overalls.
They've said they're going to kill him off, don't they? They've said Jeremy. Well, I forgot. No, the other one,
James May.
Yeah, he said that they're going to do something.
James May's brilliant. James May's brilliant.
Yeah, Boily Boyle. He is. I like James May.
He's really good, actually.
I like them all. That's the beauty of that programme, though, isn't it?
He's good, and it appeals to everybody.
They could be new us, you know.
Well, we could be Stigs.
Shall we?
Yeah. I reckon I could do that. Let's put it this way. When I'm driving the car, I'm always being told to slow down.
And you wear that big mask to stop upsetting the children.
Thank you. Sad news about the poor guys that have been trapped down in that mine in Chile for the last 27 days.
Very sad.
Well, there's a lot going on for these guys, and NASA have also been helping out.
You can have a laugh, but they are doing what they are suffering, really. They are flipping.
But it's nice to think that NASA has sent down a team to help out, which is really, really good. And the point of the story is that the NASA doctors have said that the miners that are trapped down however many thousands of meters it is under the ground should not use cigarettes or alcohol. And when you first think about it, you think, oh, that's not very fair. But then you think about it and go, oh, hang on a minute. Cigarettes, gas, baboom, not a good combination. Underground.
Well, they've got baboons down there, haven't they?
Baboom, you fool, with gas. And then the problem with alcohol is you can get dehydrated with it. And you can get all sorts of other nasty. And the last thing you want at the moment is some miner becoming sick or ill down there because you can't send the doctor down.
That's right. You know what I don't understand, though?
What?
In all honesty, is... Right, they're all miners. Why don't they spend all the time that they got no... That they're not drinking, smoking? Why don't they spend the time digging the way out?
Sometimes
that's not disrespectful at all. I admire these blokes, and I think they're... Well, maybe they could. I don't know. But I think it's a bit sad they're not allowed to have a glass.
Well, there's a possibility that they're going to get one glass, a little glass of wine... A little glass of wine to mark Chilean's Day on the 18th, the Independence Day. I hope they kind of do, really, because I think that would be really cool if that happened.
It's going to be amazing when they come out, you know.
It's going to be coverage beyond belief. It really, really is.
If I was working now, I'll tell you what, that's where I'd like to be.
Yeah, I can understand it. Somebody who's also claiming to be in the middle of a smear campaign is the... remember that WikiLeaks that we were talking about in June, I think it was? The Swedish legal system is to reopen, allegedly... said man in a rape investigation. Now, the interesting thing is that this went away, then it's come back, now it's come back again, and the guy who, the Australian guy, Mr. Assang, reckons that this whole thing is part of a smear campaign by opponents of his whistleblowing website.
Yeah.
As a journalist, what do you reckon?
Well, as a journalist, I would think it's very difficult to know, and I'm not disrespecting this woman who's made the claims about the rape or anything else, but this rape thing did fall off the radar and has come back at exactly the same time as Mr. Assang has been causing a lot of trouble. And I think it feasibly is a smear campaign by his opponents. 75,000 secret US military documents this man put out, showing about all the failures in Afghanistan and other places. It's not unfeasible that certain powers and certain authorities are attacking him.
Could be. Okay, moving along quickly as we get towards the end of part one. At long last, hallelujah, praise the Lord, Samsung have come up with something that will challenge, in my opinion, the iPhone, or as somebody regularly calls it on the internet, an iSheep.
Ooh.
Ooh. And basically, what this thing is... It's kind of like an iPad, slightly smaller. The first screen is 7-inch, not like the new big one. But it can do more things at the same time, a bit more like a computer. Because don't forget, with the original versions, you can only do one job at a time, which is kind of a bit boring. So if you wanted to read a book...
So you can't multitask.
Well, say you wanted to read one of your Tolstoy books and have a bit of Tchaikovsky classical music in the background, you couldn't do it. Because it only did one thing at a time. Well, with these new ones, you'll be able to do two things at the same time, which is kind of nice. And
just two? Is that all you can do?
No.
You can only do two. I'll tell you what.
Well,
you know what
you're a man. You can't multitask at all. But that's what I'm told.
I can multitask. There's all sorts. I can multitask, I tell you. I can eat crisps.
Yeah.
I can eat pork starch and smoke. And drink at the same time.
Oh, talking of smoking, I'm nervous. It'd be nice to me
today.
I know.
We've not talked about that. Maybe we'll talk about this next week.
Probably.
Do you know what the most popular application on an iPhone is?
No.
Where the nearest phone box is.
I thought you were going to say that new one from this week. The stethoscope. Have you not seen it? You're laughing.
I'm laughing.
No, I don't either. And we'll round up the first. Listen, I just think it's a cool idea that Samsung are challenging the iPad because I think it needs it. I think that's a good thing for competition and for consumers alike because it might well bring down prices as well, which is kind of cool. A couple of to squeeze in. Love this one about a place I'd never heard of before.
I've never heard of it either.
Cotswold Airport. So there's this airport that, I mean, Lee hasn't heard of it. I haven't heard of it. I lived there long enough. I know I haven't for a few years. But the Cotswold Airport puts up a sign to announce where the Cotswold Airport is. Only problem, they swap the S and the W round. So it's
I'm not helping you.
Cotswold.
Cot was sold.
Cot was sold.
Cot was sold. Cot. Eric, leave me.
Oh, matron. now, apparently this airport was called Kemble Airfield until a little while ago. And then they changed it to Cotswold Airport. Like, that made a difference because nobody knows about it. But the good news is that the company that made the sign are having to put it right and the airport's not being charged for it, which is kind of cool. I think that's kind of good. And the funny thing was in all the media reports that a council spokesman said, thank you for bringing it to our attention. Well, what the hell were you doing before it went up, not checking it? I can't get my head around that.
You silly billies, you should have read the sign.
So anyway, the good news is that the Cotswold Airport has now got into the news.
Well, that's it. It's made it famous. The only problem is, I bet they don't. What airplanes? I bet you can't fly to America from there.
Probably not. It's probably one of those little ones like Biggin Hill in London.
Now that's a big one.
Oh, dear, oh, bray. No, I kind of like that. And just one more before we get to the break, because we're...
Yeah, you're only trying to work.
No, I'll tell you what, we'll wait for part two for this one, because this just floats my boat, as they say. It really does.
No, don't say floaters in this case.
Sorry, I couldn't help the double entendre again. That's it for part one of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls. We'll be back faster than you can have two glasses of Tony Blair's wine. In part two of Postcard from Pop Rap with me, Eric Wiltshire, and Lee Banks over there in the UK. We'll be back right away.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.